We're going to go now to Acts chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 31. This is where we finished last night. Oh, God! The book of Acts is an unfinished book in the sense that it has no ending in it. We are still writing it, aren't we, folks? I believe the church in the book of Acts is in the world today. The one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking church. Believes in miracles and wonders and signs. The moving of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. How many would like to have a prayer meeting like that in your church? Hallelujah! 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 Let's pray the Lord will shake this place tonight. Move in the mighty power and presence of the Holy Ghost. Come on now, pray with me right now. Hallelujah! Amen. You may be seated. I mean, not getting in such a big hurry, I won't announce my subject. I'm going to preach tonight at Great Jerusalem Revival.
All right, Delta.
Part 2.
I see.
You know something, folks? We are all products of that Great Jerusalem Revival.
That's the truth.
If what happened had not happened on the day of Pentecost, we would not have what we have here tonight.
Amen.
So I thank God for that Jerusalem Revival.
Sure.
And I pray that we will always preach what that early apostolic church preached.
Glory.
In doctrine, in spirit, and in truth.
All right.
God give us in these last days another great Jerusalem revival.
Glory.
I'd like to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
If you'd like to see it, raise your hand and wave at them. Hallelujah! As you know, the lame man was healed. By virtue of this man being healed, 5,000 men, Acts 4:4, were brought into the church.
Right.
Plus, in Acts 2:41, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Now, we must understand that God can do the same today. And God wants to take a healing and make a revival out of it.
Sure.
Of course, the apostles got thrown in jail. But they got out of jail still preaching the same message with the same power and authority that the Lord had given them.
That's right.
And they had a prayer meeting. And the Spirit of God moved in that prayer meeting.
Yes, yes.
I believe that prayer meetings are a prelude to revivals. I believe prayer meetings are a prelude to revivals.
Amen.
An inability to speak to God is an inability to speak for God.
Hallelujah.
We've got to be still and know that I'm God. Hush up, pipe down, be quiet. Elijah hid himself for 3 years and almost 6 months before God said, go show yourself. We must recharge our batteries. We must renew our consecrations. We must be willing to listen to God in private to become public mouthpieces for divinity. Oh, God, give us some apostolic prayer meetings. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Oh, I'm not preaching to a bunch of people that don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I believe the same Holy Ghost can shake this place just like it did that place. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't backslid. Titus 3:5 said He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say renewing.
Renewing.
It's not just the seeker that needs to get filled. Some of us need to get refilled. Some of us need to get refilled. I'm going to make a statement unequivocally tonight. Every last one of us would do ourselves a favor if we would periodically pray through, and speak in tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand and say, God, fill me tonight again. God, fill me tonight again. Mean it now. It'll make a better preacher out of you, a better saint out of you, a better Sunday school teacher out of you. Pray, God, fill me again. And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Right.
And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Oh, the unanimity, the unanimous consent, the unity of purpose, the solitary singleness of mind.
Oh.
We are here for one purpose, one reason. Not a fashion parade, not a social gathering club. This is not just a retreat to come. Oh, no, my brother. We have one purpose and one mind. We want to see revival spring out in these last days. I want to see you revived, sir. I'd like for you to get on fire with God. I'd like for Him to set your fields afire. I would like for Him to make flaming evangelists out of every one of us here tonight. We need it, we need it, we need it, we need it, we need it. Some people said the church needs more money. Humbug. Church needs more education. Double humbug. The church needs bigger and more formal buildings. Triple humbug. Oh, some people say, well, what the church needs today is all sorts of recreational outlets for its young people. I'm not preaching against it, but I say quadruple humbug.
Yeah.
The number one priority is we have one mind,
life,
one heart,
life,
filled with the Holy Ghost. And preach the Word of God with boldness. Brother, I'm not a least little bit ashamed. I'm a one God, Jesus name, tongue, Holy Ghost, apostolic. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Amen. That's not about right. That is right. Hallelujah. Neither... Amen, said any man among them that ought of the things was his own. But they had all things common.
All things.
None of this, whoop, don't bother my pocketbook. Whoop, don't bother my Saturday afternoon siesta. Whoop, don't bother my family reunion time. Whoop, don't bother me when I want to mow my lawn and trim my bushes and do this, do that, or the other. Nah, these things within themselves are not wrong. But if we're going to see this church march and do the thing God wants it to do, we're going to have to pitch shoulder to shoulder and stand together for the cause. And with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great power, great grace, and great results. Oh, hallelujah. Little power, little grace, little results. God, give us some great power. God, give us some great grace. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied with status quo. I'm not satisfied with just some sort of having a church and coming here and just going through the motions. I want to see some devils cast out. I want to see some people delivered from whatever has them bound. I want to see you go deeper in God. I want you to know there's something to this apostolic experience.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or house and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Now some people say, well, so what? I don't believe this was the norm of the church, that is to say, the standard. I don't believe it's compulsory that you have to do such as this to be saved. But I am going to tell you, you'd better be willing to lay everything on the altar if you're going to get anywhere with God. You got to lay everything you own and say, God, I'm yours and all that I have. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do with my life. And you believe that? Say, amen.
Amen.
That's right. These men sold their houses and lands and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Because right here's scripture for a preacher handling money. You're going to trust your preacher with your soul? What's wrong trusting him with some money? Some people say, well, I don't know about that. Well, here it is. They sold their houses and lands, brought the prices of things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. Amen.
Right.
You know, it is rather incongruous and inharmonious, and I believe unfair spiritually, for one segment of Pentecost in a church to prosper exceeding well and not have a concern for those that are not doing quite so well in the same church.
Right.
Now, if you're faring sumptuously and you've got a brother in your church that's not really doing any good at all and needs some help, if you say you love God, you're going to help that brother or sister out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
James 2:14 said, what did it profit my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us.
Right.
And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, amen.
Yeah.
How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's time we thought we was in this together. God's not pleased with empire building, with kingdom building. God's not pleased with personality cults. God's not pleased with us saying, this is my bailiwick. This is my terrain. This is my territory. Hands off. Get out. Brother, there is one church with one gospel. We are in this together. Hallelujah! I mean this with all my heart, that the purpose and plan and program of the gospel transcends all of us tonight. It's a greater cause than me. It's a greater cause than you. Calvary's for everybody. Calvary's for everybody. God wants everybody, everybody in Pine Bluff to have the Holy Ghost. He wants everybody in Pine Bluff to be baptized in Jesus' name. Everybody! Well, they sold everything they had to see the gospel go. Oh, you got to take your hat off to it.
Right.
Some people wouldn't give a nickel, see an ant eat a bale of hay. And it takes money to make the church run. They say, let her walk, preacher, let her walk.
Yeah.
Talk about money, scare them half to death. I think sometimes the best song to sing during awkwardness, I'm determined to hold out to the end. I think it fits some people right, because they're tighter than Dick's hat band, no reference meant. And they're tighter than the bark on the tree. Right! They don't care. Listen, if God saved you, He saved your pocketbook, He saved your house, He saved your yard, He saved your car to use for the cause of God.
Hallelujah. We believe that. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
So they brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
Yes.
According as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Holy Ghost always giving a good example before a poor one comes in. That's the trouble some people. They always get their mind on somebody that's not doing right and judges the church accordingly. They think because there's one hypocrite in the church is full of hypocrites.
Yeah,
you know, a star falls from the sky. Actually, not a star, it's a meteor. But they say, look, the star is falling. But they forget the stars that shine faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
Sun goes into eclipse, everybody notices it. But they forget the days the sun shines faithfully.
Oh, God.
So they get their eyes on one or two that's not living right, and then judge everybody accordingly. Well, the Holy Ghost gives us a good example first. Barnabas comes, brings the money, lays it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, amen?
Amen.
Sold a possession. Amen.
Right.
And kept back part of the price.
Yeah.
His wife also being privy to it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here they come now. And now swings in through the church doors, comes by, puts down, and starts walking away. But Peter said, Ananias!
Uh-oh.
Hey, something about the tone of that preacher's voice. Uh-oh. Trouble, 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 trouble. Listen, God may have your number now. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Right.
Ananias' sin was not in giving just a part. His sin was in agreeing to give all and then keeping back. Consequently, his sin was lying. Lying. All liars, Revelation 21:8, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I challenge you tonight, what you promised God you're going to do, by the grace and help of God, you better do it! Better do it! Better not to vow a vow than to defer to pay. Come on now. Ananias could say, well, that church has got a lot of money, honey. So far, we don't need to give everything. We've sold everything we've got. God only knows we've got to have a little money left. How is we going to keep that cottage up by the lakeside? How is we going to take that trip to the Rockies? Honey, you know God don't expect this of everybody. How are we going to feed our children, clothe our children? I know that's a great revival, and I want to see it go, but God understands we don't have to do it all. Now, I know that we said we would, but God understands, so we'll just give part. But the Holy Ghost condemned their lying.
Right.
God knows my heart tonight. He knows your heart tonight. I say if you're keeping back, holding back, stubborn and obstinate, proud and disobedient in your heart, I beg of you to repent. 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 Repent.
Amen.
Now, it had been some of us, we'd have ushered in some elders or some brethren of the church, and we'd have put them on probation, and we'd have said, don't do that anymore. Some churches, they would have completely overlooked it because maybe they sung in the choir and had a high tenor voice, or maybe they taught a class and needed their educational talents, or maybe perhaps they lived in a $99,464.653 home, and maybe they really had a lot of influence. Maybe they was the vice mayor or the assistant to the counselor of the city, or maybe they were just chairman of the wastebasket committee. I don't know. But due to all of that, we kind of shy away to their titles, you know, and they're big people, and we don't tamper with them. If you're going to be a saint, and if you're going to be a preacher, you better fearlessly preach the Word of God without fear or favor. I don't care who's wrong, they're wrong. I don't care who's wrong, they're wrong. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Amen.
Next verse, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost.
Yes.
And great fear came on all them that heard these things. What would you do? Words killed him. Someone said, words won't hurt me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's what you think. They can kill you. Words killed Ananias.
Right.
Words of judgment. Words of somber soberness. Words of God's indignation. You lied, Ananias. I'm tired of your lying. I'm going to kill you right in the church of the living God. Now, I'm not saying God's going to have to kill a few of you people for us to have revival. But I'm going to say in the name and fear of God, if your stubbornness and obstinance, and if your unwillingness to cooperate with the plan of God and the program of the ages is causing many, many hundreds of souls from coming into this church or into this gospel, I pray God get you out of the way. God get you out of the way. Let's have revival. 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 Hallelujah. I'd hate to think a house or a home or a car or a backyard turnip patch or a sack of garden seed would keep me out of the kingdom of God. Here I am, Lord. Everything I've got is yours. I'm willing, Lord, to do what I can.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a sermon to preach on a man's wedding night, but it's the truth. Praise God. All right, praise the Lord.
All right.
Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. Mm-hmm. And great fear came on all them heard these things. Let's say you were standing there. Maybe you was rubbing two nickels together and wondering whether you ought to give both. Maybe you was wondering whether, well, maybe God don't expect me to do the same thing. And this fellow doing the very same thing you're thinking about doing. Mm-hmm. Falls dead right in front of your eyeballs. And nobody hit him. Peter didn't have an uppercut. He didn't come down with a sledgehammer blow. He didn't kick him in the groin. He didn't give him a judo chop. Amen. Or a Korea karate. Hallelujah. No. Judgment of God killed him. Great fear come on you too.
Amen.
Great fear come on me too. I say this with all honesty and candor and open-mindedness tonight. But we do not have enough of the fear of God. We take His holy place for granted. We take His Spirit for granted. Oh, God, I want to be fearful lest I displease You in any manner.
Amen.
Maybe if someone got killed under God's judgment, it would cause the fear to come on some of us that do not walk with fear. Oh, God, examine my heart tonight. If there's anything that should be taken out, would You raise Your hand by that and signify the same? Hallelujah. Speak to us, Holy Ghost. Speak to us.
Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord.
And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, buried him. No coroner's jury, no obituary, no funeral, no lamentation, no great angelic choir, no funeral dirge, no sobbing widow or orphans or aunts, uncles, cousins, in-laws, outlaws. That would come and say, oh, I miss Joseph, or I miss Ananias. Nothing! Blot him out! Put him away! Took him out, buried him. Now listen, I have known of people, oh God, that have self-anointed and self-deputized themselves to the seat of the mighty. They walk so presumptuously proud and hold their heads so high. My God, if it rained, they'd drown. They really think they're somebody. They're going to be missed whenever they're gone because they cut such a wide swath. I'm here to tell you tonight, God ran His church over 1,900 years without me, and He can run it 1,900 more. I am not indispensable. I am not irreplaceable. And neither are you. And neither are you. But this gospel is. This gospel is. This gospel is. This gospel is. Hallelujah.
Glory. That's it.
They wound him up, carried him out, and buried him.
Right.
Forgot about him. No doubt some of the young men digging the hole to throw him in said one to another, what a fool. He died like Abner in the Bible as a fool died.
Oh,
why did he tempt God that way? And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife... why is it man and wife seemingly one goes, the other one goes? Not always, of course. I say this with respect. But if your husband's wrong, he's wrong.
Right.
If your wife's wrong, she's wrong. In matters of morals, in matters of scriptural doctrine, in matters of heavenly prerequisites.
Right.
Let's put our priorities straight. Let's don't follow one another's footsteps to hell.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
And his wife, it's about to space 3 hours after, and his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Oh, giddily, she walks down the aisle. Well, everybody's going to think I'm a big donator in this church. They don't know, but we're keeping back just a little bit for our own personal use. And not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answering said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much.
Yeah.
That sealed her doom, right?
That's right.
Up to that point, she could have changed. Just like Judas Iscariot could have reversed himself. I don't believe in unlimited predestination away with such spiritual harry-carry. I don't believe in that. Simon Peter found repentance, and you can find repentance. But don't go too far. There's a point. There's a plan. There's a demarcation. You can go too far. So far I went too far.
That's the truth.
I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I don't know who, but I'm preaching to somebody. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. He didn't hit her, didn't lay a hand on her. The Bible said, then fell she down straightway at his feet.
Oh God.
Amen?
Amen.
Then fell she down straightway at his feet.
Right.
Hallelujah. And yielded up the ghost.
Praise.
Oh God. Yielded up the ghost.
Amen.
Fell down dead at the feet of Simon Peter.
Right.
And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Can you see them young men coming in the door? Wow. Whoop! Another one. What's happening in our church anyhow? I come for church and dead people. No questions. No, let's vote Simon Peter out. No, let's get a new pastor. No, let's drag him before the trustee board. Let's dehorn him. But oh God, it's the judgments of God.
That's right.
The judgments of God. Mm-hmm. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband.
Amen.
In nameless graves, there to sleep to the general resurrection at the white throne of judgment to answer to God. Hell is their portion.
Whoa.
Eternity and torment is their retribution. Forever and ever they'll wander the cranks of hell saying, oh, what this cost me, a house and property that I let come between me and my God. Oh, God, I beg of you, Ananias. I beg of you, Sapphira. If you're here tonight, turn back. Don't let money keep you out of heaven. Don't let property keep you out of heaven. And don't let a lying spirit keep you out of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible said, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Oh God, if we had some people falling dead around here under the judgment of God, we'd get some fear in our hearts too. Again, I say, I don't pray for that, but I say, oh God, give us what we need to have revival. Oh God, give us what we need to have revival. Everybody say revival. I want to tell you something that happened now. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Look at this next verse. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. I read that many times in my mind. I thought, what's the answer to that? Then I think I got it. You see, it got passed down through town from word of mouth that you'd better watch going down to that apostolic tongue talking one God, Jesus name, tithe paying, foot washing, communion group of people. Because if you lie to the preacher down there, and if you're not living clean and holy and righteous and lovable and kind and pure and nice and merciful and like God wants you to have, you just might die right in the church house. So if you're going to play religion, stay out of there. If you're going to play a church, stay out of there. If you're going to act out a part, stay out of there. If you're not going to be real and genuine, don't mess with them apostolics. Because there's something about the Spirit that's in their church that'll get a hold of your heart, that'll get a hold of your life. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Hallelujah. The next verse said, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, everybody say multitudes. Both of men and women. Brother, this spawned a revival. Healing spawned revival, Acts 3 and 4. Death of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 spawned another revival. God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. But oh, God, give us revival. Believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. They had such a revival going. There was such a sweeping spirit, such a wonderful, pervading, moving, saturating, feeling, practical, wonderful, pulsating spirit moving in their church and in their city that the next verse tells me, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Hallelujah. It didn't say Simon Peter's shadow healed them. I am not venerating a man's cloak or tunic or the relic of a thigh bone of some long forgotten saint. I don't worship Simon Peter, but those people's faith had got built to such a crescendo that when they heard Apostle Peter coming down the streets, the doors would pop open and they'd bring the lame and the blind and the dumb and the deaf and people on beds and on couches, and they'd lay them on the streets. Oh yes, they wanted revival. They wanted healing. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! How would you like to have such an apostolic revival? None of these toothpick kind, none of these sign in the church register kind, none of these sweet kind where everybody's all right without the Holy Ghost. But an apostolic revival is such an extent that your pastor, your preacher, couldn't even go down to the post office or couldn't go downtown to transact a little business. But what the doors would start popping open and they'd bring the sick out and lay them on beds and couches. No, we don't worship a man. No, we don't worship a man. But we worship a God that can heal, that can deliver, that can heal the sick and raise the dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, God, I'm feeling it tonight. The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory.
The next verse said, there came also a multitude
right out
of the cities round about unto Jerusalem,
right bringing
sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed. And they were healed. And they were healed. Everyone. Everybody say everyone. Oh God, I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name right now. I'm saying tonight, everyone here that's sick can be healed. I'm saying everyone here tonight without the Holy Ghost can receive the Holy Ghost. I'm saying everyone! Everyone! Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
I think in my mind's eye, I can see the pilgrimage now. The cities from Bethlehem and Bethany and on around Jerusalem's periphery, led into Jerusalem. The little roads, the little trails, oh, they were choked with people. And if you were a stranger to the parts, as the ox wagons would be toiling down the road, and the little burros and donkeys are limping down the road under its heavy load, and the lame walking with a limp or with a crutch, or perhaps a man on a bed carried by two of his friends, and the roads were choked with them, you would say, what's going on? Why are you all going in the same place? What's this noise I hear? Where are all you people going that are sick and lame and infirm and blind and halt and paralytic and all of this? And they would tell you, we heard of a revival. There's a revival in Jerusalem, and we hear people are being healed, people are being delivered, and we're going to go to that revival. Oh God, help us tonight to have a revival.
Hallelujah.
I'm not preaching just for one solitary church in this area, but I'm preaching for one solitary gospel. I would to God we'd have such a revival. All of the people of like precious faith, we could stand shoulder to shoulder. We could stand together in unanimity. And the roads leading to Pine Bluff would be choked with people that are lame and are halt and are maimed. People that want deliverance. Would to God we could see it! Would to God we could see it! Would to God we could see it! Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah! Would you like to see a revival like that? Raise your hands and ask God for a move of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel His power here right now.
Hallelujah.
Well, in the midst of all this, the devil worked.
Yeah.
If you'll let him, he'll work through you. Amen?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Then the high priest rose up,
yeah,
and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid the hands on the officials, and put them into common prison. Now these spiritual fathers were always laying hands on people. But it wasn't to heal. It was to put them in the jailhouse. And if you let modern, formal religion, it will put you in stocks and bonds. It'll bind you. The devil would like to intimidate you, scare the wits out of you, and cause you not to be so bold for what you have tonight. And so the entrepreneurs of that religious sect of the day, the high priests and the Sadducees, they caused these apostles to be put in jail and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Right in the middle of revival, the preachers had to go to jail. Right in the middle of the lame leaping like a hart, the tongue of the dumb singing, and rivers of waters in a dry place, and streams in the desert, and the deaf hearing, and the tongue of the dumb singing, and the frozen fountains of speech melted into liquid language. And right in the midst of a beautiful revival, the devil comes down with a sledgehammer blow and carries the preachers off to jail. Someone said, that's the end of that revival. That's what you think. That's what you think. The Bible said they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. Open the prison doors. Open the prison doors. Open the prison doors. Open the prison doors. Some of you are so fearful. I don't claim you have the gift of discernment. I sure have the gift of suspicion. I believe some of you are so fearful. Oh, I'm behind these big ugly bars. Oh, I'm living in a town where there's all kind of catechisms and formalisms and legalisms and ritualism, and people don't love to clap hands and shout. And I'm crouching behind in fearfulness behind this prison door, and I don't know whether I can get out. Let me tell you, the same power that delivered the apostles can give you revival, can give you revival, can give you revival. Oh, I love this. William Jennings Bryan, whose words were like flights of golden arrows, couldn't come near these words. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors.
Hallelujah.
And brought them forth and said, go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Woo! Hallelujah! Brought them forth and said go. Brother, I hope we got the go of the gospel tonight. We got too many timid wallflowers. We got too many backward, bashful,
right,
amen, spiritual individuals.
Right.
God, give us some boldness. Boldness! Everybody jump up, say Jesus three times.
Jesus.
You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, if I was a psychologist or a humanitarian or a doctorate in social studies, I would say this must somehow underscore a spirit, a typical, some sort of way of living, a system. This must be something. There's something in this phrase, way of life. It's not just a beat. It's not just a word. It involves a system. I read in this something. You don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Here's what it is. When the angel told him to go tell him about the way of life, he was talking about the Holy Ghost baptism, talking about Jesus' name baptism, talking about the one God baptism. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Go tell it to him! Go tell it to him! Go tell it to him! Simon Peter, don't you dare stroll into that temple with your ermine cloth coat and say, well, it goes without saying, it's an overtaxation of my physiological potentialities. And my fellow constituents of this great constituency, I'm sure proud to address this great conference. You walk in there, Peter, and tell them about this way of life. You tell them about this way of life. That if they're sick, Jesus can heal them. If they're discouraged, Jesus can encourage them. If they're down in the valley, Jesus can lift them up. If they're on dope, if they're on drink, if they're on cigarettes, if they're living lives, if they're living immoral lives of corruption, he can deliver them. Go in there and tell them about this way of life, this way of life, this way of life, this way of life. Go in there, says the angel, and you tell those people this Holy Ghost baptism is not just a brief moment of spiritual ecstasy that comes to a church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. It's not just an interlude. It's not just a spastic experience that every now and then will come. It's a way of life. You can have it breakfast, dinner, and supper, morning, evening, and noon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can have it in the summer. You can have it in the fall. You can have it in the winter. You can have it in the springtime. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Oh my God! There's power here tonight! I'm glad I'm in this way of life, aren't you? This is a way of life! This is a way of life! Oh, I would to God I could go on tonight with this thought. I would to God I could tell you this is not just a theological course. This is not some moldy history book in some sort of theology. This is a way of life. It's a way of life. You can talk it. You can walk it. You can live it. You can sing it. You can shout it. And you can preach it. Hallelujah. And when they heard that, that's all right. Just go ahead and shout. Hallelujah. I'm going to take time out right now. Hallelujah. Leave them in jail like that. I say it would be nice to leave them in jail. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught the people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But the high priest came, and they that were with him called the council together, and all the synod of the children of Israel. Now notice, but the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together, all the senate of the children of Israel, that's the Sanhedrin,
the august body of 70 to 72 elders that govern the religious affairs of Israel. Can you see them 70 somber, ashen faces, men of jurisprudence, filing into the antechamber to call those one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost tongue talking preachers on the carpet?
Yeah.
And all the council together, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them, weren't who this would grow.
Yeah.
70 to 75 of them had their heads together. What's going to happen here? Someone said revival. Someone said Jesus' name. Someone said Holy Ghost. Someone said healing. What's going to happen? Where are they at anyhow? Had they disappeared in thin air? While they was huddling together, the door popped open, rudely interrupting the protocol. This man, the Bible said, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Where else could you expect to find the one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking preacher, but in the temple preaching the Word of God? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.
That's right.
Oh, God. My God, we thought we had them locked up.
Yeah.
The keeper's standing without before the doors. And they're not in prison. They're in the temple. Preach up! They don't have the gall. They're just little fishermen. Hoi polloi. Cast-offs of society. Scum of the earth. Ragtag spiritual ragmuffins. Why, they got... There, as one brother said, they're ignorant.
Yeah.
They don't have no smarts. What? You mean they're not in... They're not in jail? You mean that they're not obeying our edict? They're not obeying our commandment? You mean that they're in the temple teaching the people? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, isn't that just like the Holy Ghost? Isn't that just like the Holy Ghost? Well, the Bible said, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. I like that. Everybody say without violence. Two times previously, Acts 4 and Acts 5, they had put their rough, calloused hands on these men's shoulders and drug them away to jail like common criminals. But, brother, when the Holy Ghost got the common people on their side, the Bible said, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. I can see him when he walked into the temple, Peter was preaching up a storm again. One said, now when you get a little break there, and when you make a little break there, hey, breaker, just a minute here. I'd like to tell you something. If you get a little time, would you come with us down to the council house? We'll wait on you. Take your time, but you got to go with us. Amen. And they brought them without violence. Amen. Amen. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Now I can see it. Remember, over 70 of them in this council chamber. Maybe you've been on the carpet before a boss or some board or some sort of gathering of men. I'm not necessarily speaking in a spiritual sense, but maybe, you know, any time you've had to be brought in before a judge or somebody, there's a somber, sober, cold as a tomb feeling. And it gets you a little eerie and a little speculatively thinking in your mind, what's going to happen to me? And you become intimidated. That's all part of the atmosphere. It intimidates you, make you feel like you're about like that. They're great big, you know. And so the door goes open. In comes the captain and the officers and the 12 apostles right behind him. And they all came in, this big, 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 big group of men sitting around this table or wherever they were sitting. And they brought them in. They set them before the council, all looking at them, you know, looking right through, trying to intimidate them. putting their best look on, you know. Psyching them out. You don't psych out a Holy Ghost preacher. So take your crystal ball and get out of here. Throw your horoscopes in the river as far as I'm concerned. There's some truth in what I'm saying now. I'm not just trying to be funny. You got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to let no devil psych you out. I said, you don't have to let no devil psych you out. Well, they said them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. What a testimony. Yeah. Brother, write it in the newspaper. Shout it on the housetop. They had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. God, give us that same grace. God, give us that same evangelical fervor. Let's fill Pine Bluff with our doctrine. Let's fill our respective cities with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Well, he said, behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles, they all stood together. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's time we stood together for the name. How many loves the name of Jesus tonight? How many is willing to go to jail for the name of Jesus? How many is willing to suffer for the name of Jesus? I say we may differ on other little issues, but let's stand together on the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior to Israel, for to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the host, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Woo! Hallelujah! When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And took counsel to slay them. You could hear it again. Kill, kill. Put them in the boneyard. Do away with them. Cut their throats. Kick them out. Run them off. Took counsel to slay them. Just because Peter told them they had to have the Holy Ghost. You may not like me, but I'm going to tell you, without the Holy Ghost, you're as lost as a devil ever was lost. Romans 8 and 9, without the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. Romans 8 and 11 said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelled in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8, verse 11. That simply means you've got to have the Holy Ghost to come out in the first resurrection. You've got to have it. It's not optional. Get it in your mind. You're lost without it, sir. Lost, 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 lost. Lost, lost. That's what they were telling them. God hath given the Holy Ghost, he said, to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart to counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, having reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Get them out of here. Shut the door behind you. Got the men together. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel, or this work, be of men, it will come to naught. Oh, I would I had more time. I would to God I could preach the death, funeral beat of Mohammedism and Buddhism and Zoroastrianism and Taoism. Amen. Brother, I could name other all cults right here in America.
Right.
I would to God I had time I could preach your funeral, because they're going to come to naught. They may live for a few hundred years, but they're going to their graveyard.
Right. Amen. Amen! If this council or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Oh God, I don't believe in communication with the dead. I've never had baptism with Gabriel, although I do believe in conversing with angels. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't believe in conversing with the dead that's gone in Christ. But nevertheless, if I could talk with Gamaliel, if there was some way I could communicate with him, I'd say, brother, you're in eternity. God's your judge. But I'm going to tell you something. Over 1900 years later, Gamaliel, remember those one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking, apostolic preachers, Holy Ghost preachers you had before you? You said he would come to naught if it was a man. But I got something to tell you. Right here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, we got the same gospel. 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 I don't know why. I'm a merciful man by nature. Believe me. I don't know why the Spirit dazed me to do this. But one of these days, by the grace of God, the apostolic truth is going to dance on the grave of Buddhism. It's going to dance on the grave of Mohammedism. It's going to dance on the grave of Trinitarianism. It's going to dance on the grave of Tuism. It's going to dance on the grave of every false doctrine! Every false doctrine! Every false doctrine! Revival!